Professor Jonathan did a great job. Maybe I should go and listen to one of his classes. I'll be boisterous while the other students fall asleep. Good to see you all. Esther is one of my favorite books in the Bible. You want to guess why? Ooh. No, I'm not. I don't like bad guys. Well, guys, any suggestion why I like the book of Esther? I guess they spent all their energy reacting to Uncle Jonathan. Anyways, it's a very short book, 10 chapters. I can read it through in maybe 45 minutes. All right, so that's one of my favorite books. Also, it's about a pretty girl, right? The beauty. So, I wonder why there weren't any movies about, you know, Queen Esther. But anyways, today I'm going to talk about Esther. Esther, how a little orphan girl, a Jew, who grew up into a beautiful girl and became queen, and how she discovered her own identity and she claimed ownership to the challenge put in front of her, and how she was able to stand on the platform of her faith to save her people. You know, summer is winding down, right? Summer is actually over. I can see, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. I can see some college students among us, right? Right? We still have college students here, or everybody's gone away already? Yeah, you're the only one? All right, so anytime I refer to college students, I'm referring to you, okay? So, but, you know, many, many goodbyes were said. You know, to you, you know, maybe you couldn't stand your brother or sister, and they, you know, you're very happy that they went away. But for parents, it's really hard for us when our children go away to college. For those who went away, they're probably very happy because they couldn't stand home any longer. It's been a long, boring summer. And my son went away, John went away Thursday. And for the last 2 weeks, he had been saying, I'm so ready for school. I bet you, some of you guys in high school, you are saying the same thing. You're ready for school, right? But I bet you, in 2 weeks, you'll be sick of school. You say, oh man, this test, this teacher, I don't like my teachers. Where am I going to find friends? True, you know, especially for those of you who are going to high school, ninth grade, or you're going to your new school year, you wonder, you know, am I going to find good friends? Am I going to have friends in my classes? You know, I believe that going to school is just not to learn, not head knowledge, okay? Not to try to take as many AP courses as you can. Okay? But going to school is actually trying to find friends, trying to learn how to grow up and mature and discover yourself. Discover yourself. Discover your identity as to who you are. That's more important than getting A's or B's, sometimes C's. It's to discover yourself. Esther, when we found her in chapter 4 of the book of Esther, she was very much conflicted about her own identity. Was she the queen? If she were the queen, her sole reason for being was to serve at the king's pleasure. Or was she a common Jew whose countrymen was facing annihilation, destruction in the hands of this vile Haman? Thank you. Come on, a little bit more energy, all right? So, in times of trouble, who should she profess herself to be? She was a Jew brought into exile as an orphan, grew up to be a beauty. And for some unknown reason, she became queen in this royal position. You know, how many of us, well, maybe some of us do, but how many of us dreamed about being the president of the United States? How many of us dreamed to be the first lady? And actually becoming one? Very, very few. How would a Jew, how would an orphan became the queen? And why? To Mordecai, she would forever be her little, be his little Hadassah that he adopted as an orphan and brought up as his own daughter. The Bible says lovely in form and features. Not just outside, outward beauty, but she was beautiful inside, because the Bible also said she won the favor of everyone who saw her. So who should she profess herself to be? Now that she was confronted with the news that Haman had this evil plot to destroy all the Jews, right? He wanted to kill them, young and old, woman, man, in one single day. Now, if you were Esther, if you decided not to reveal your true identity, you know, chances are, being a queen, that's not bad, right? She could, in all likelihood, live out a full life. Now, let's not be like thinking that being a queen is easy, because I think being a queen is also a boring life. You know, you're sitting there, there's nothing to do, okay, with people surrounding you. Very little freedom, very mundane type of daily life. Because the Bible said before all these virgins went in to see the king, they had to complete 12 months of beauty treatment, 1 year. I don't know about putting cosmetic or, you know, doing all this beauty treatment for 1 year. The Bible says 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and cosmetics. That's pretty boring, as far as I'm concerned. You know, my basketball guys, all they did after the practice is do this. The deodorant, right? That's good enough for them, and that's good enough for the girlfriend. Anyways, and this king, if you really study him, he's kind of a drunkard. All he was going from one banquet to another banquet. And who knew? You know, he might have a fit of rage and wanted her killed. So she was caught between a rock and a hard place. And she was conflicted with the issue of life and death, not just her own. Because if she professed herself to be a Jew, she'd be killed. And if she professed herself to be the queen, her people would be killed. So what should she do? She was in great distress. And from the reply to Mordecai, her first reply, she was kind of wavering. Because she said that, look, you know, if you want me to go to the king, you know, he had but one law. If you go to see him and he didn't call you, you'd be put to death. The only way, the only exception is for him to extend the gold scepter and for you to touch and spare your life. She said, it's been 30 days since I've been called. That means I'm not even sure I'm in his favor. And you're asking me to do this? She had a choice to make. Is she the queen or is she a Jew? I've been in the States many, many years. I'm not going to tell you how long, because that will reveal how old I am, right? But I tell you, if I walk, you know, I consider myself very American, because I think in English and I read the New York Times every day. You know, I don't know how to read Chinese newspapers. You know, it's the same way my students, right? They're just from China. They said, oh, when we read the newspaper, we don't know what it means because we understand every single word, but when we link them together, we have no clue what the sentence means. Well, I have the same problem. If you won't give me a Chinese newspaper, I know every single word. But when it's linked together, I had no clue. So that tells you I'm American. Now, but if I walk on the street in New York City and people look at me, I had a distinct feeling that what they are seeing, what they're looking at, is a Chinese man. Americans on the street look at me as a Chinese man. Very often, I go into a Chinatown store, okay? Very often, when I go into a store in Chinatown, now the shopkeepers, they're not too nice, right? They just take your money and then they let you go. So I give them money, they give me change back, and they said, thank you. Did you get it? The Chinese shopkeeper think I'm American. They speak English to me. They say thank you. They didn't talk to me in Chinese. They talked to me in English. Even though in Chinatown, they all talk in Chinese, right? They don't talk in English. But they respond to me in English. So for a Chinese person, when they saw me in Chinatown, they thought I was American. When I went back to Hong Kong, on the street as I walk, I can tell you, they all look at me, the way I dress, I'm American. Who am I? Am I Chinese? Am I American? It's not who we think we are that is important. It's not who other people think we are that is important. It's who we actually are. Okay. 2 Corinthians, listen. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Galatians 3. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's our true identity. Now, don't think of us as Chinese. Don't think of us as American. Don't think of yourself as being smart, or don't think as that you're not doing that well in school. We are his sons and daughters. That's our identity. But the problem is, we might be God's sons and daughters, but we are not acting as his sons and daughters. You know, recently, Wednesday, we had because there was John's last day, right? So we had a barbecue outside. When we all came back on my deck, I saw a yellow object moving. I like, whoa, what was that? It was a stray cat. A stray golden yellow, golden brown cat with pretty stripes eating the leftover on the deck. I don't know if it was a he or a she. It was very hungry. So I said, Lucy, that's a cat. Let's give him some more food. So Lucy said, okay. And John was like, John called him Shadow because like it was like going along the railings, hiding itself from us. So we put out some food, we grabbed it, and went away. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days, we've been feeding this little cat. I opened the door, it's not there, I would call, Shadow, come over here. And I put some food out. Later on, maybe 10 minutes later, food's gone. So we were feeding her with fish, chicken, so finally I said, okay, let me go to ShopRite and get some of these cat food for her. This morning, no, This morning, I got up, I opened the door to my, you know, deck. It was sitting there. Sitting there, looking at me. The first day, when we put the food out, it was right? The last few days, meow, meow. Sons and daughters, you know, we are too attracted to the world that we're out there running around enjoying ourselves. And the Father is calling us, come get your food, come get your spiritual food. And we're out there, we didn't know. And then the Heavenly Father had to leave the food for you to come and get it. How about learning from this little cat? He knows who is feeding him. He's waiting for the food. Come to the Father, the sons and daughters, learn to wait upon the Father for the spiritual food. So when you go back to college, when you're in college, when you're in the dorm room on a Friday night, hang out with your friends. Remember who you are. When you're online, on your Facebook, checking YouTube, remember who you are. In high school, when you're talking with your friends, when you're texting your friends, when you're in class, when you're doing your homework, remember your identity. When someone picks on you, when you feel like someone is mean to you, when you feel that someone is leaving you out, remember who you are. When we're looking for a job, for those of us who are working or looking for work, when you're sending out your resume, going on an interview, remember who we are. Or when we're on a business trip away from home, alone in a hotel room, remember who we are. Or we're at home after a long day with our spouses or with our children, remember who we are, because we are his sons and daughters. And that we should not follow the world. And the identity of sons and daughters, we should not forsake, not for expediency, not for personal gain or worldly gain, not because we follow where the wind blows. So Esther wondered as to who she really was, her true identity, and then here comes the reply from Mordecai. Do not think that you alone in the king's house will be saved. For if you remain silent in this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will come from another place. A lot of us, we just think that we're doing fine, we're going on our own merry way, whatever happens around us does not affect us. That is no concern of us, that we are truly safe and well protected. You know, the cicadas in my home is really noisy this summer. Okay, I don't know if you have cicadas around where you live, they're very noisy. You know what's the life cycle? How many years do they live? 7 years? 17 years. 17 years, okay? When a newborn, the nymphs fall, drop onto the ground, right? And they burrow to the soil, through the soil. Could be a foot deep, could be 8 feet deep. They remain there 16 years and 11 months or whatever. So when these cicadas were nymphs, right? My Jonathan was only 2 years old. Now he's 19 years old. So if the cicada came out and looked at him, said, gee, you certainly look different. 16 years, 11 months, they live underground. They only come out 2 weeks and then they die. What a life. Sometimes I feel like the young people, you guys think like you're living underground. You're well protected. You don't have to know anything else. That as long as you're down there, you're fine. You have your iPod, you have your, you know, iPhone, your video game. It's all good. But no, it's not. It's not. You have to understand that the times we live are evil and it's dangerous. And as sons and daughters of God, we have to be super careful. Another point Mordecai brought out: if you remain silent in this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. Which means, this is your chance to serve. If you don't take hold of the challenge that God has placed in front of you, then you missed out the opportunity to be part of God's plan and miss out on the blessings from God. So Esther, when she realized that, she decided to take ownership. She decided to take ownership of this challenge. And a lot of times, you know, we don't do certain things. Let's say there's a school project that needs to be done. We wait. Your parents tell you to clean up your room. You wait. I used to think that, well, that's just procrastination. That's just your personality. But as I think about it more, it's not procrastination. It's because you have not taken ownership of that responsibility. We need to take ownership of the responsibility. Then you would take action. I know someone who, I closed my company 6 years already. 6 years ago, I asked him, I said, so-and-so, how much more do you have to do before you graduate? Oh, a couple of more courses. Today, I asked him, how many courses you still need to graduate? The answer will be a couple more courses. In 6 years, he hadn't graduated. And all he needed was a couple more courses. It's not procrastination. It's that he hadn't taken ownership of the responsibility to finish his studies. We need to take ownership of the responsibilities that God has placed in front of us. God places challenge in front of us every single day. And it is up to us to take the ownership. God doesn't tell you to take the ownership. You decide. He leaves it up to you to take the ownership. Whether it's shortcomings in our characters, whether it's shortcomings in our personality, trials, hardship, tribulation, difficulties in life, and we try to blame, we try to say, oh, this is other people's responsibility, this is what happened, God didn't want to bless me. God wants us to take ownership of the responsibility, whether to face challenges, whether to decide how to serve Him. He leaves it up to us. Esther took challenge, took the responsibility, took ownership of the challenge, and she decided to help save her people. So she told Mordecai, pray for me, fast for me for 3 days, then I will go to the king. I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she took up, she stood on the platform of her faith, that she decided that this is why God had put her in this royal position. Uncle Jonathan said, the word God was never, you will not find the word God in the book of Esther. And yet, every step of the way, you can see God's mighty, invisible hand working in the lives of Mordecai, in the lives of Esther. So Esther was ready. She went in front of the king, and the king saw her and was pleased with her, and he held out his gold scepter to her for her to touch. So she invited the king and Haman to her feast, and where the king find favor with her and granted her plea, granted her her life, and spared her people from destruction, slaughter, and annihilation. A little girl, an orphan girl. She didn't have a happy childhood growing up, I'm sure. It was difficult in a foreign land. You know, our times here are no different than her times. As God's children, we're in foreign land. We're aliens in this world. And that each day we face challenges that we had to remind ourselves that we are his sons and daughters, that we need to take up ownership of the challenge, and that we have to stand on a platform, whether it's in front of your friends, whether it's in front of your family, whether it's in front of your co-workers. We have to stand on the platform of our faith. Because Esther, when she went to see the king, she had no idea whether she would be successful. Because she said, if I perish, I perish. Yes, she could find favor with the king, which to her, it's highly unlikely. Or she could be put to death. Yet, she took up on the challenge. So, the platform that Esther had was not really the royal position. The platform was actually her life. Her life. She was willing to risk her life so that she can witness her faith in her God in front of all the people. So as you're growing up, wherever stage you are, maybe it's your music, maybe it's your classes doing well in school, maybe your good witness at home or in front of your friends, that's not the actual platform. The platform is your life from now till we see the Lord, that we have to proclaim and profess who we actually are, and that we have to learn from Esther to take ownership of the responsibility, the challenges to serve him, to do his will.